Let's talk to JP Howcroft and talk some A-League with JP and about an article he wrote in particular about the man who broke the record last night now becomes the number one goal scorer in A-League history, Besat Berisha, of course. JP Howcroft on the line. Hello, Jonathan.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
Very lovely to speak to you as always. Happy New Year to you. And
yeah, thank you. You too.
I said that'll be probably a trivia question in 10 years' time. What ground did the A-League record, did Archie Thompson's A-League record go? And I reckon people be going, oh, Amy Park. No. Etihad Stadium? No. Then when you go Simmons Stadium, we're going, really? But it was a good spectacle last night, I thought.
It was a terrific spectacle, and I like that. I might actually jot that down for a future pub quiz, because I reckon that would be an excellent question. But it was a terrific game. It started quite slowly, because Newcastle were very disciplined without possession. They didn't look particularly threatening when they had the ball, but they were disciplined without it. And it took a stroke of luck, really, to break the deadlock. And then after that, Victory just dominated. And they're in some good form at the moment, Melbourne Victory. And after a slow start to the season, they really are looking like they're a genuine threat of both pieces of silverware.
Let's talk about Berisha. I mean, he took the record last night with a penalty, and we know Archie didn't take penalties, so you can't factor that into Archie's 90 goals that he scored. But you wrote an article about his upbringing and where he came from, Berisha, and it's a terrific story.
Yeah, well, the thing with Besat Berisha that defines him, I would argue, is this win-at-all-costs mentality. And it feels, despite Australia as a sporting nation having that as part of its DNA, there's a certain reluctance to embrace an emotional aspect of that. So if you think about cricket, for example, we would applaud the way Australia played on day five in Melbourne, because they saw the opportunity of a result and they went for it. But there was a clinicalness to it.
Yep.
When we impart emotion into it, and Besat Berisha is a terrific example, because you can read exactly what's happening in his brain on his face and in his body language, we struggle a little bit, I think, because there's something, I don't really know how to explain it. The way I wrote it in the paper was that it's gauche. It's a bit too demonstrative for us. And Berisha has this incredible willingness to win, and he's not afraid to display the emotions that go with it. And throughout his career in Australia, he's been in controversy. He's overstepped the line on a number of occasions. He has dived. He is a natural target for opposition fans to dislike. But throughout, whenever he's on the pitch, there's nobody on the pitch who wants to win more than he does. And that stems from his background. He was from Kosovo at a time of civil war. His family moved to Germany when he grew up in East Berlin in difficult conditions. And football for him, because he was such a good young player, football for him was not just a release from the difficulties of his life, but the opportunity to make something of himself. And he said in a number of different interviews that when people think that I take football seriously, maybe too seriously, it's because I do, because
yeah.
It is his life. And from being a teenager, it earned money that supported his family. And then a defining point in his life, it was the difference between remaining in Germany and being returned to Kosovo. And now it's the opportunity to make a life in Australia and earn a significant amount of money as a marquee player. So it really is one of those case studies when you think, how much does it matter to you? You know, when you're thinking, oh, do I need to go to training tonight? It's cold, it's rainy, I've got a bit of a corky or whatever. Besat Berisha is the textbook case of why every single ounce that you can get out of yourself can pay dividends.
And he trains like he plays, doesn't he? From what I've heard, he is ferocious on the training track.
He is. He's just, he doesn't know any other way.
Yeah.
And a conversation that we have quite a few times on air during the year is about the loss of street footballers. And you can probably extend it to other sports. Cricket might, you know, the lack of backyard cricket or street cricket. But we're creating different athletes, different sports people. And the Australian national team, the Socceroos, there's a lack of street footballers in the front third. So players that can provide that bit of difference, because they're not playing by the curriculum, they're playing on their wits. they're displaying skills that you can't really teach. You can only acquire through playing in awkward circumstances.
And you mean they haven't had their, you mean they haven't had their natural ability coached out of them?
Well, that's one way of looking at it, and I wouldn't dispute that too much. But there is, you know, yourself from a footy perspective as well, there are certain players that just move differently.
Yep.
Because the ground that they grew up playing on wasn't flat, or it might have had a slight bias to one set of goalposts. So you adjust your game, and that instinct stays with you throughout your career. And Behzad Berisha is one of those players. He's just, wherever he is on the pitch, he's thinking he's going to score a goal. And it makes him selfish at times. But because of how much he contributes elsewhere during the rest of the game, he's allowed to get away with it. And just that willingness to win everything. I bet it'd be just in the same playing tiddlywinks with his kids or, you know, Monopoly on Boxing Day or whatever. Just an unbearable, an insufferable victor. And that's what makes elite sports people.
But he's great to watch.
He is, absolutely. And an aspect of his game that I think often goes unremarked is how much punishment he takes. He plays almost every game of every season. He rarely misses a game through injury, but he takes an awful lot of punishment. He gets kicked in the backs of his legs because he plays so much of his time with his back to goal and centre-halves taking liberties with his calves. And he's tireless off the ball.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou,
when Ange Postecoglou was coaching Brisbane Roar, it wasn't Berisha's goals that he singled out. It was his energy and work rate without possession, chasing opposition defenders down, forcing them into mistakes, creating dangerous turnovers high up the pitch. And we see it for Melbourne Victory as well. It's just a great example that sets a tone for the rest of the team.
The interesting question I have for you, Jonathan, is we're doing that schoolyard picking the teams. There's only two left to pick for your side. The two blokes standing on the fence there waiting with bated breath and smiles looking at you are Bruno Fornaroli and Behzad Berisha.
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's interesting, the language that I used in my column for The Guardian today was that Berisha is the greatest goal scorer that the A-League has seen. And I don't think you can challenge that because he has the record. He has scored more goals than anybody else.
Yep.
Does that mean that he's the best goal scorer or the best forward that the A-League has seen? Perhaps not. I do think Bruno Fornaroli has got more in his locker than Behzad Berisha has. And I think in the shorter space of time, we've seen a wider array of talent from Fornaroli than Berisha. But Berisha has done it now for five seasons. He's been in the top four goal scorers every season he's been in the country. He's won three championships in his five seasons at two different clubs. So it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for a player that you can just lock in and say, look, that's 25 games, that's 20 goals, we know what you've got. Whereas with Fornaroli, who knows, he might be gone in the January transfer window if a decent European or South American club comes knocking. We don't know what his resilience is going to be like over his third, fourth, fifth season. But I think player for player, Fornaroli has more ability.
Yep.
But Berisha is the proven talent.
And Fornaroli might cost you less in furniture in the change rooms at half time. if Behzad doesn't have a good first half these days, they clear out the rooms, don't they? Because he just picks everything up and chucks it.
He does, but I love that.
So do I.
Maybe it's, you know, it depends how you brought up and what kind of sport you used to growing up as a kid, doesn't it? But I think some teams need that. Melbourne City, I would argue, need that. Throughout their history, from Hart through to City, and it brings us on to the John Van Skip situation as well nicely, but they've lacked that mongrel in their team.
Yeah.
Now. They've got a lot more character now. They've recruited better. They've got leadership and greater strength through their core. But they've never had that player who will trash the dressing room, who will confront the coach nose to nose and put everybody on notice. And that's what Behzad Berisha does. And for better or for worse, more often than not better, it might not be what from the outside you think would work, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, bringing it on to John Van Skip, who has resigned from Melbourne City today unexpectedly. But based on an illness to a family member in Europe, which has meant that, that he's resigned for that reason and is going back to care for his father.
And there's speculation that he was, you know, going to be heading home. A lot of people were saying that sort of. That to me is all irrelevant now. This is him making a decision based on going home to look after his dad, and that's more important. Let's talk about where that sits with Melbourne City. Michael Valkanis comes in as the stand-in coach.
Yeah, I first point is I completely agree with you, Kevin, about at some point you take performance away and you allow somebody to make a decision as a human being.
Yeah.
This is a European guy who's here for a job, and his family life will always be in Europe, and that has to dictate the decisions that he makes. And I think that's something that we all just have to applaud him for. It can't be an easy decision. But he was always planning on leaving City at the end of this season, but that's obviously come a lot sooner than we would have thought. Michael Valkanis is a safe pair of hands. He did very well at Adelaide United last season, and he's a very vocal presence on the bench for Melbourne City. And Joe Montemura, alongside him, has been coaching the Melbourne City W League team. So there's no shortage of ability on the coaching bench for now. The question, obviously, is who comes in to replace John Manskip long term. Clearly, Melbourne City have very deep pockets through the City Football Group. There will be a lot of very high-profile coaches looking at Melbourne City as a stepping stone. If they do well with a very good squad, you could suddenly find yourself fast-tracked through the City Group pyramid and into a much more prestigious opportunity. We've seen it with Patrick Vieira, who's gone from being a member of the backroom staff in the administrative staff at the City Group to head coach at New York City is his stepping stone towards bigger things. So it will be interesting to see what rumours start to appear. The first one that has come out is Josip Gombau.
Oh, really?
Who is part of the Socceroos coaching setup now, the former Adelaide United coach. He's been linked with the City Group for a couple of seasons. And when City were going through that bad spell last season, he was high on the list of people rumoured to be taking or in frame to take over from John Manskip. So I expect his name to be thrown about quite a bit in the next few days. But I would expect one or two big European names to come out of the woodwork because, like I say, Melbourne City for them will be a really good shop window.
JP, always great to catch up. Appreciate your time. Did you enjoy Davey Warner's century this morning?
Oh, it was outstanding, wasn't it? Just one of those, sit back and enjoy sport at its absolute peak. It was just a treat to watch. Chance, how would you score 100 in a session without giving a chance? Without playing I can only think of two false shots. One where he almost chopped onto his stumps, but that it wasn't as if the bowler really earned it. And then it was that one that flew through the cordon, but it was on 60, 70 by that point, and the field was back. So it was, it wasn't that big a chance, but it just an extraordinary display of batting, and credit to him.
Yeah, so he's done very well. We look forward to you being part of our A-League coverage coming up across this weekend with Melbourne City and Victory games coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Plenty happening over the next couple of weeks with Melbourne City trying to fit in that extra game away to Wellington as well. So loads of A-League on SEN over the next month or so.
Good on you, JP. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kevin.
JP Howcroft joining us there.